Pick the Nintendo Shack and pray. Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening says, yo.
Greetings, Koopalings, and welcome to this week's episode of the Nintendo Shack Podcast. Happy Father's Day, Donnie. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you, by the way. I would like to just say I really dig our Shack music. Like, of course I do.
I do, too.
Because I chose it. But, man, every Sunday, sometimes I'm tired and come sit down here and it just gets that little bass and it's like the old Shack. I'm digging it. I dig it. It's good.
I feel like whenever I hear that Wii Shop song, like not in the context of Shack, like actually just the Wii Shop song, mm-hmm. I think of Nintendo Shack. I don't think of the Wii Shop.
Wow.
It's like changed my brain.
Conditioned.
Mm-hmm.
It's a banger.
Association. It is. It is.
So good.
I'm good.
I'm doing good. How about
good job with that? I am doing pretty good. I am done with work. I am done with the school year. So I'm officially on summer break. My last day was on Friday.
Nice.
Didn't feel like the last day, but tomorrow,
you guys go
Monday,
back in September?
End of August.
Yeah. My kids go back at the beginning of August.
Okay. So they're out a little bit earlier, but they start a little bit earlier.
Yeah. They start August 1st. Yeah.
That's fair. I think, okay. We used to start after Labor Day, but they like keep kind of shifting it up a little bit. But for a good while, a lot of the schools didn't have air conditioning. So I think they had to start it a little bit late, but now they all have air conditioning. So it doesn't matter.
Interesting.
Yeah. But I don't have to think about any of that. Do not say the S word until the end of August. You're not allowed. I'm going to sleep in tomorrow.
Tons of games.
Do whatever I want. What?
Tons of games.
Tons of games. Yes, I'm gonna play all the games. Play some video games.
Thanks.
Probably hundreds of hours of Zelda.
Yeah, I was gonna ask. Do you, like, a lot of my friends that are teachers, they usually pick up some sort of like summer gig. Do you, or do you just like taking all the?
I used to, but not anymore. I don't need to. My summer gig is streaming.
Oh yeah, I guess that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I used to, like, when I was in grad school and like when I first started working, but like I don't need the money that badly. Like I would rather just rest and like not do anything.
Kind of like my mentor coming up was a teacher, and he used to always grab a summer gig somewhere, and he used to tell me it was just to stay. He felt like he got lazy in the summers if he just stayed at home.
A lot of teachers do. Like,
yeah, he was
for
like,
the money, for one, and also just like to have something to do.
Yeah,
for
me, I need a routine. I need to get up every
not
day
me.
To do stuff.
I don't need a routine. I don't need something to do. I will find things to do. There's no like lack of things for me to do, even if it means doing nothing.
Solid.
I'm totally fine with being a couch potato all summer.
And if I had a summer break, I wouldn't do shit.
Yeah. And maybe that'll change someday, but
I'd lock the door. That's what I do.
Yeah. pretty much. Donnie, I got to the Lightning Temple in Zelda this week.
Did you?
Have you gotten there yet?
I've barely played Zelda this week. I haven't played much of anything. We're doing the streams and stuff. We did all the Summer Games Fest.
Oh, yeah, the Summer Game Fest. That was
and then I got my Ally, so I've been messing with that all week.
Nice.
And then, I haven't. I did play a little bit last night just to kind of, I had to get back into the swing of things, but I did jump into a little bit of Zelda last night.
What's the last thing you did in the game?
Well, I went looking for pirates because you told me to go do the pirates. And I remember the pirates. There's a pirate ship in the Akala region. And I went and did that, and that, like, it was just fought some pirates. I was like, oh, this can't be what she's talking about. Mm-hmm. I must not have been doing it right. So then I YouTubed it, and then I realized I had not been to Lorelin Village at all. So then I went and did that whole quest. And you're right, it was pretty good. It was pretty fun.
I figured that was the kind of thing that you've been saying that you wanted to do. Like, you were like, whoa, wouldn't it be so cool to like rebuild Hyrule and like help
it
people,
would be.
You know, put together houses and stuff.
I was kind of hoping that I would actually get to build the houses and not like just do like these like thread a log through a hole. Like the house building part, like when you build a house, is much more fun. I was like, man, this would be cool if I get to build the whole village. Just, you know, like they let me build my house, but no. But I did enjoy, I mean, that was good combat, like a little arena and stuff. And it was nice. I got to see, was it Folsom, whatever his name is. Got to see him again. And it was cool.
I had wished it was more pirate-y.
Yeah.
Just the goblins. Like,
yeah.
I kind of thought it would be people.
Maybe like some Wind Waker, you know, Easter eggs or nods. But just more of the same, just on boats. It would have been cool if they had done something a little different.
Yeah, but it was still cool. I still liked it. Was like, it really hit me kind of hard when I stepped foot in Lorelin Village, and like, it was not the quaint little fishing town anymore. The houses were like burned down and broken, and it like was a little bit heartbreaking too.
Yeah,
it did take me a long time to find that last enemy.
I restarted it. I thought it was glitched out or something. I restarted the whole thing.
Oh, you're probably not the only one. So don't say where it is for the people who don't know yet, but
I did it twice. I was so mad.
Was so worried that I was going to get a blood moon waiting for, or trying to find the last enemy. And then I would have to do it over again.
Yeah. That's why I restarted it. Cause I was like, they're not going to respawn until a blood moon comes. It's like, I'm just going to grab an old load. I'll just do it again. And I did it again. And then I ran up with the same thing. No, the second time I went to that place first, not first, but like I went to that place sooner than I did the first time.
Yeah.
No reason. I was like, I didn't do this the first time. And then I was like, oh,
smart.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's how this goes. Damn it.
For me, I did find my way to the Lightning Temple. The lead up to it has been my favorite so far of all four of them. Wow. I'm glad that I went in the order that I did, because I do think that the difficulty, like the suggested order, is a good difficulty. Well, no, the suggested order is Rito, Goron, Zora, Gerudo.
I don't even know. What
I don't know either.
Because I don't think I have paid that much attention to anybody suggesting where I go. I went to the Rito, then I went to the Zoras, then I went to the Gora. Nobody told me to go there.
That's how I did it too. Yeah.
I just went there.
The Lightning Temple, definitely, I have not finished it yet. It definitely feels the most like a traditional Zelda dungeon. This is probably going to be my favorite one. Can I give a small spoiler for you?
I'm here for it.
It has 7 floors.
Wow. So that is like a legit dungeon then, huh?
Mm-hmm. And it's like very overwhelming and very like intimidating. I'm trying to get my bearings and trying to figure out how it works. Oh man, this one might end up being my favorite. And I really like the sage's power for this one. So it'll be good.
Nice. Really good.
And then after I finish that, my plan is to go to the end game.
Oh really? You're already ready to go there?
I'm going to, maybe, I don't know. I say that now. We'll see how I actually feel when I get there. But I did write my review. They were knocking on my door for the review. So I wrote the review without beating the game. Sue me. I don't care. Just because I don't think my opinion is going to change at this point. Like, I feel like it can only get better.
Mm.
I gave it a 5 out of 5.
Nice.
But I needed, like, I felt like I was glad that I let it have time to sink in, and I could like take my time and like do the things that I wanted to do without just like going straight through the main story and like not doing anything else. So yeah, so that's me. Like I said, I was really busy this week finishing up my school year, so I didn't get a ton of time to play. So now I'm on summer break and I'll have lots of time to play.
I started working on a quest in the depths, and I think I'll do that next.
Which one? Because I spent a long time down there.
I'm supposed to go around and collect things. I think it's like, I don't know, like collect eyes, I guess.
I started that. Oh, my God. Listen, I started that one, Donnie, and I took the eye all the way to where it needed to go. And I'm like, why isn't he accepting it? Like, where am I supposed to put it? What am I supposed to do? And then I'm like, I'm just going to start this one on stream so that my chat can help me. And I'm like, chat, what do I do? Where do I put this eye? And they go, Rebecca, that's not the eye. That's a lamp. I was like, what? I took it all the way where it needed to go. And you're telling me that wasn't what I was supposed to carry? I was so mad that I stopped. I just stopped doing the quest. I was like, I'm going to come back to this.
That's amazing.
I was so mad.
Do you have a clip of that?
Probably. I'll make one if there isn't. Oh my God. I literally got so mad.
I got started doing that like right at the end. Like I did Laurelin. I did the pirates. I did like two shrines. And then I had gotten that quest before. And I just wanted to go back into the depths. So I was looking for something to do. And I was like, oh yeah, I can do that. And then I went down there and I basically just like created a save right there to get started. And then I was like, I'll just do this next. Cause I was going to go get some Zonite. I'm starting to run low on Zonite, running out of speeder bikes, like going through all my air bikes. So I need another one. I was like, I need to go make another loop again.
All you gotta like, do this is so much fun.
I was like, so I think I wanted something to do. So yeah, I found that, got started on that, and that's where I saved it to pick
That's
up.
One of the Poe quests.
Yeah.
I like the Poes.
They're cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like there's still so much I want to do in this game.
There's still like, there's probably a good 30% of the depths map that I haven't unlocked. I mean, I've flown through like all of it, but I haven't like got all of the light routes yet. I want to do that too. I might do that before running to the end game. I only have a couple more stables to finish the stable stuff off. So yeah, I mean, I'm starting to get there. I haven't gone to the Gerudo yet. I got to make my way out there at some point. It's like, I'm to be honest with you, it's like my least favorite like environment in the first game, just the desert. So I think that's maybe like some procrastination, like I'm just not like really jazzed to go out there, but
that's fair.
But also just not wanting to like feel like I need to beat the game anytime soon. I'm not done with it yet. There's still several side quests I want to do. I haven't finished the side quests in Hateno, where like the mayor and everything. I want to do that too.
Oh yeah, I want to finish that one too. I heard that one's good.
Yeah, I want to do that. It seemed good. There's like lots of multiplying factors. I wanted to do that as well. So yeah, I still have some things to do.
Cool. Me too. Since that's really all we've played this week, shall we get into this week's news?
Let's do it.
So this was big. Atlas confirmed, and this was, I believe, was leaked ahead of time, right?
Yeah.
That Persona 5 Tactica will release on the Switch November 17th. There's no official confirmation or denial about the status of Persona 3 Reload coming to the Switch, but retailers around the world have begun to take pre-orders for a Switch version. You're not a Persona guy, are you?
I used to be. Or at least I used to think I was. I like Persona. I've watched the anime and I have comic and the mangas. I like it, but the games, like the Persona games, are just too much. It's just too much for me. I'm not that into RPGs, as the world knows. Turn base isn't necessarily my thing, so the Persona games never were quite get a hold of me. I had a girlfriend many years ago that was really into them, and that's really like how I kind of got started. I used to just watch her play, and we'd just like sit together and she would play and I would just kind of hang out with her.
That's awesome.
Persona 3 was that game. we watched Persona 3, and so I'm like very familiar with that one. And then from there I tried playing like Persona on Vita, and I played what I felt like was I gave Persona 5 a really good try. I probably put 40, 50 hours into that on my own.
That's a really good try.
Before I was like, I just can't keep doing this. Like, it's just the same thing over and over.
See, I'm put off by the length of the games. People told me that I would like Persona.
And I was stoked when Warriors, I was like, this is perfect. Like I get a Persona story, Persona animation, and a much more easy to digest game. I was wrong. It's an incredibly harder to digest game. Like that is every bit of Persona game in that regard. Like, there's so much content. You've been playing the game forever. It's so much longer than other Warriors games. So, yeah, I'm kind of hit or miss on them. I feel like I should say that there are pundits, credible pundits, that are speculating on Direct is happening soon. I imagine that's why we haven't seen Persona 3 being confirmed for Switch, is that it's being saved for that, if that is indeed true.
Do you think it would be a first part, like a normal Direct, or third party partner Direct?
Good question. I mean, I could see it go either way. I don't know. It would depend on which day you ask me. I could swing on both sides of that, because I think there is enough time between now and the fall for Nintendo to announce another game. Right now, they only have Everybody Wants to Switch.
And I was going to say they did.
Right.
They did announce another game.
And the reason that I would say that it could be a third party, it could be a partner Direct, is because they could always just announce a game like they did Everybody. They could always just drop a Twitter post and a YouTube video. Like, they don't have to have a Direct to announce a game. But they have to have another game between Pikmin and the end of mid-October. I think there's multiple games in that window. I'm just honestly just saying, like, the first half of fall. I think they should have at least two games between Pikmin and January.
Okay.
That's a long time.
When's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Switch coming out?
I think it's out next week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think so.
They are just trying to get rid of this game from there.
Unless they have a lot of third parties, which they could. I expect that Nintendo will have at least two more games in addition to Pikmin for this year. At least two.
I mean, they have to, I feel like.
Right.
So they don't have to, but
I feel
they
like
should.
They need to announce one now and then announce one in, like, early fall.
The thing for me is I feel like they wouldn't have released Tears of the Kingdom in May if they didn't have another exciting holiday game.
I agree with you. Yeah, no, you've always said that, and I think you're probably ahead of the curve on this one. I don't think we're in a position where I think a lot of people think that they're just, like, writing out the next system. I don't think we're there yet. I really don't. I think it's going to be a long time before that system comes. There's got to be games. They've got to have a couple games. I don't know what they are, but there's got to be a couple of them. Now, here's the thing, though. They could announce those in August or September. They don't have to announce them now. But they do have right. Pikmin. I think they want to talk about Pikmin again. And I think there's other games. So I could see them having another Direct. And then they have, like, it's them and some third parties and some indies and some dates. And they basically get you primed for, like, the fall. And then we'll get, like, another announcement later in the year, you know, of some games coming out in November, December, and January.
Don't they normally have a Direct, like, after, like, the week or two after a really big first party game comes out?
That's typically been the case. Yeah.
I feel like I feel like we'll have a third party Direct and then we'll have something regular after Pikmin.
Could totally see it. Yep. I could totally see it. That has been kind of their cadence. They all focus on the next game until that game comes out, and then they come back and they update you on the next game. And they could do that as well. Do you get the sense, and maybe it just doesn't matter, this might be overanalyzing the situation a little, I just got the sense that they really haven't pushed Pikmin that hard yet. Like, I don't really feel like people are really aware that Pikmin is coming soon.
So I literally couldn't even tell you the date it comes out, which is unlike me.
So I get the sense they want to talk about Pikmin again. Like, they want to talk about Pikmin. They want to give you five mm-hmm. minutes of, let's get you excited for Pikmin 4.
The only really news that we've had about it since the initial reveal really is they tweeted about character customization, that you can make your own.
It's like a little trailer
character.
Yeah. We don't really know a whole lot about the game. So that's the only thing that gives me pause on them not doing anything until after Pikmin comes out. It's like, really? They got to do something for, and then maybe again, as with all of these things, they could just drop some trailers. They could start dropping some trailers, but it's close. We're not that far away from Pikmin.
And July what?
I don't remember. It's like mid-month, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I because I got the vouchers, I didn't pay too much attention to the release date. I tried Googling it and it didn't even pop up. Nothing.
Did I do the voucher for Tears of the Kingdom?
No idea.
July 21st. I don't know. I should figure that out. Okay.
21st. So, I mean, really a month from now. We're a month out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is not, you know, not enough time. There's plenty of time. But I feel like they haven't really started to sell Pikmin yet. And I think
that. And you said that 1, 2, 5 Switch is coming out next week?
I think so.
So maybe like after that, they'll start dropping Pikmin news.
Maybe. I would hope so.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Nintendo works in mysterious ways.
Yeah. Everybody's 1, 2 Switch is out on the 30th. So the week after next. Okay. 2 Fridays from now.
Will not be picking up.
I honestly could see them doing a direct, but it being shorter, you know, not like the big direct, but just a direct. I could see them touching on 1, 2 Switch as well. Like they just give like, hey, we're here to remind you.
This that exists.
1, 2 Switch and Pikmin coming out soon. And this is what they look like. And then you throw in a Persona and you throw in a Prince of Persia and a couple indie games and like.
Well, I think they need to because they haven't even shown anything about 1, 3 Switch. It's
right.
Like they just said, oh, it exists. Here's the box art. You can buy it. It's a party game. Enjoy.
And we know they've been doing DLC like all year long. So like you throw in a couple trailers for those games, a couple indies, a couple third parties, and a couple DLC announcements. That's a direct. Like you've got a direct.
And we have the DLC announcements to spare.
Yep.
Splatoon, Pokemon will do its own thing.
So I feel like they've got, you know, plenty of content to talk. So I wouldn't be surprised if they start talking. But I could also see a third party direct where it's just here's 20 games that are coming to Switch in the next, you know, 8 months. I definitely could see that happening because it seems like they're getting a lot of ports. They're getting a lot of support right now. A lot mm-hmm. of folks are making. I was listening to Mike. He played the Prince of Persia, Mike Benatti. He played Prince of Persia. He played it on Switch. He says it runs at 60 FPS. And he's like, yeah, we definitely get the sense that like it was targeted for Switch. Like they designed and built the visuals around this game so it'd be fluid and ready for Switch. And then they, you know, they just kind of up-res it to everything else. But like he feels like that was kind of like the targeted platform.
Man, I had no interest at all in Prince of Persia before this, and like it just looks so good. Like this is my kind of game.
And I'm wondering, like, what if it really does gangbusters? Like now, Ubisoft's got to like, well, do we go back or do we keep doing this? Because I mean, I was pumped for it from the moment we saw it, and I can't mm-hmm. I can't wait to play it.
Yeah. I also think that a direct might line up with this next bit of news. Nintendo's Summer of Play Tour is delivering smiles and family fun with stops in malls across the nation. Blah, blah, blah.
Malls, wait, this Rebecca. Malls.
Okay, never mind. This is not what I thought. Somebody... Aren't they doing something in September? The Nintendo, they're doing some kind of event.
Yeah, they have like a thing in Redmond. No, this is the malls. They're going on the road. Somebody who is running their marketing department in... Like, whose mom is this? Whose mom is like, you know what we got to do? We need to get out to the malls. Like, it's the malls. That's where the kids
who's
are.
Who's going to malls? I don't know what it's like down there, but our malls are dead and shutting down. They're banning teenagers from malls because of theft.
Skateboards.
Like, no. Nobody goes this to malls here.
This is so 1994. It's like, we're going to get out to the malls. We're going to play some Pokemon and some Mario Kart, and we're going to get these
nobody kids excited there
for Switch.
Anyway, if you're in Minnesota, Michigan, New York, Tennessee, Texas, Colorado, or California, you too can go to the mall June through August and play Mario Kart 8, Animal Crossing, Pikmin, Scarlet Violet, and Tears of the Kingdom. You probably already own all of those games.
I think their press release said that if you go, you get like a $10 coupon at GameStop or something. So it might be like a partnership kind of.
Is this Pikmin 4 or is this Pikmin 3 Deluxe? It's a big difference.
Don't remember.
It's a big difference.
No, in Nintendo, it's Pikmin 3 Deluxe. Little Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze there. The new Super Mario.
Don't forget Super Mario Bros.
I'd be more excited if they were like, hey, we've brought the Wii U like kiosks out of retirement. We're going to set them up in a mall. I'd be like, we got to go.
I would go there. I would definitely go for that.
Revan 3DS Appreciation Day down in the mall. Come down and be like, I got to go.
Yeah. Ghost Days in chat says, what's next Nintendo events planned for Circuit Cities?
I was so flabbergasted when I saw this come across the wire. I was like, no way. Like, it's like, did they just finish Stranger Things? And they're like, I've got it. Yeah. You know, it's like, what are you doing?
Oh boy. No, I thought this was the thing that they're having in September. I think there also might be a direct around like that.
That's kind of what I'm going for, is I think maybe I'll bite and say I believe the rumors for soon, and then I think they'll come back in like September and do another one. Mm-hmm. There's just another, there's too many games that need to be announced, I think. Or not just announced, but announced and dated, right? To do it all mm-hmm. in one. I think they need to split it up.
I agree. There were some rumors swirling this week. I feel like this rumor swirls around all the time about plans of a Zelda movie. This time they're saying Illumination is behind it, the same guys who brought us the Mario movie. And there were some outlets saying, yeah, this is about to be confirmed. Like, they've yeah. just made a deal. And the Illumination CEO and founder, Chris Meledandri, did I say that right?
Good,
he said
good try.
There are no plans for a Zelda movie.
Of course he did.
This is not, this doesn't mean there's not going to be. I feel like this is very CEO talk.
Yeah.
But I hope he's telling the truth.
I think, are we on the outs of that? Or is that like, how does this resonate in popular Nintendo spaces?
I think people want it.
Okay, that's what I'm.
But only imagining. If it's done right. I don't even want it if it's done right.
Yeah, I'd prefer. I know. I think you and I. Yeah, you and I are both lockstep. I'd prefer this not to be a thing.
And I love Zelda. Zelda's my favorite. I mean, I wouldn't care.
And that's not disingenuous. I didn't see them. I have still yet to see the Mario movie. Like I told you, I wasn't excited for it, and I'm not. So, like, I don't want the Zelda to go through the same thing.
Okay, our chat is in agreement with us.
Okay.
People don't want it. Yarn says there's no way to do it right. I'm inclined to agree for the most part.
I think
the way to do it, did we talk about this last week? If they did, like, Toon Link, very expressive, like, very...
Sure. Yeah, we did.
Like, island-y style. I think that would be the only right way to do it.
I think there's too many potential potholes along the way. Like, the risk is so much greater. Like, the Mario was pretty straightforward. Like, of course. Like, the Mario movie was exactly what it needed to be. Like, I don't feel like that path is as clear for Zelda. And I don't think that, like, unanimous reception is clear for Zelda. I think you make a Zelda movie and probably no matter what, somebody isn't happy. And that's, like, best case scenario. Worst case scenario is you don't do it very well and everybody's unhappy. And, like, I just kind of don't want any of that. I don't want any of that for Yarden. If Link talks, instant fail. See, like, there'll be people that say if he doesn't talk, see, this is why
it's way too divided.
Just don't do it.
Way
leave it alone.
And like, think about how hard that, what can you think of another movie where the protagonist doesn't say a word for the whole movie? No, he says words. He talks to Wilson.
Wilson
is an important secondary character, Deuteronomist. Mm,
yeah. I don't know.
I can't think of one.
Spogoop says when Willy's Wonderland.
I've never heard of that. What if they did like a very like Western style, you know, like Link is Clint Eastwood, very minimal talking, like that'd be hilarious. That'd be
what
so
was
funny.
That movie? Was it Waiting? Remember that? There was like the team rom-com with like Ryan Reynolds, and they were all like waiters and servers at the restaurant, and he was training the trainee. And the entire movie, the trainee is about to speak, and he always gets interrupted until the very end when he unloads on everybody. Just do that with Link. Every time he's about to speak, somebody like Zelda keeps talking, you know, and he's just like, you know, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah, that would be funny. That would be funny. Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't be mad, but I think you're right. I think there's too much risk. Like, it's very divided how people feel about it. Like, even look at our chat. Like, there's people saying, no, I don't want it. There is a right way. There's not a right way.
Yeah.
That's like, the thing. Just too... Whereas I feel like for the Mario movie, we didn't talk like this.
And I'm generally, you know, I've been one... I don't need all of my favorite things to exist in, like, every medium. Like, I don't need a connected Zelda universe. Like, I'm totally fine with Zelda existing as just a video game. Like, I'm good.
Well, Donnie, they're not doing it to please the people who want it on multiple medias. They're doing it to make money.
And if they think they can, they will. And like I said, with Tears of the Kingdom blowing up the way that it did, like, if you're going to do it, now is the time. You know, like, just capitalize while the getting's good.
They didn't capitalize when Animal Crossing blew up.
True. And maybe they think they should. I think an Animal Crossing
animation. Illumination doing an Animal Crossing movie, that would be better.
Animal Crossing, yeah. I was just about to say, the Animal Crossing makes total sense for an animation. I'm thinking like the old Pokemon movies. You just do that, but Animal Crossing be huge. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Illumination would do a good job with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I just stick with Mario. Mario's fine. He's the mascot. Yeah. The big winner.
Yep.
Just do more Mario. Do another one of those.
Give us a sequel. Give us another. Give us 10 of them. Sure.
Yeah.
We have a couple more quick headlines before we get to the questions from this week. Moving Out 2 is coming to the Switch in August. Did you play Moving Out 1?
Yep. People like this game, right? We had like the Overcooks of the world and then the Moving Out and the things. We've got a bunch of these little things. And, that was just a trailer that was dropped. It wasn't even that, or I didn't see it in any of the showcases that I watched. And I didn't see the trailer until a couple of days after the showcases ended. But I felt like that was a, you know, highlight indie game for Switch that people probably want to know about.
Good. Yeah, I haven't played the first one, but I would try it. Legend Bowl is coming to consoles later this summer. What's Legend Bowl?
Legend Bowl is a football game that this guy made by himself. He used to be like a very, heavy, active Madden player, like was always in the forums for Madden and stuff, trying to like ask for like better AI and better blocking schemes and stuff like that. And I guess was never heard. So he's like, I'm just going to do it myself. So he's he's made like a 90s football game. Not like Tecmo Bowl, but his game is Tecmo Bowl ish. But like when I say 90s, like think Genesis, how football games used to be. They were vertical, like up and down versus side to side. So mm-hmm. he's making a vertical Tecmo Bowl. And I've played this game. I played a demo when it came out in early access a couple years ago. It's weird. It's great. It might be the best football game. Like sorry, I'm trying to wrap all my thoughts around everything I want to say. If you evaluate a football game on being like a very good competitive, like every player on the field is doing the right thing type of game, it might be the best football game ever made.
Really?
Yeah. Like the AI.
So like his wishes of having good AI.
Exactly. Yeah. Like everything is very good. Like if you have a great player, they can dominate in this game. If you have a bad player, your team will have a weakness that you have to account for. Like everything is exploitable. The only thing that I think would give some people some pause is when you throw the ball, when you're the quarterback, you have a power meter, like kind of like Hot Shots. Like you have to press and hold the button, and how long you hold the button determines how hard you throw the ball. And if you throw it harder, the receiver might drop it, or you may not be able to arc it as much, or, you know, like there's certain things like that. So there's a learning
curve. That sounds good though. Is that bad?
That's the thing. Once you get into the learning curve, it's addictive. Like it's really good because it's simulation like, but it's an arcade game. It's not like simulation in looks. They have an NFL like roster where they kind of spoof all the team names and all the player names. And they are also having a college version of this game being made that they're going to come out with as well. So yeah, it's on Steam. I'm looking for it on the Steam sale because I haven't played it in a couple years. They've added all kinds. They have added a full franchise mode where you can play like 100 seasons of this game. And it's got like the Tecmo animations. You'll see like the newspaper pop up and you're a winner and all that.
Yeah,
it's got that kind of charm to it, but it's for serious players. And, I want to play it. I want to play it. If it goes on Steam sale this weekend, I'm going to get it now. But, I never expected this game to come to consoles and it's coming to all consoles later this summer, which is pretty cool.
So you would consider getting it on Switch if it doesn't go on Steam sale?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Cause I want to play it again. I want to see all the new things they've done to it. I want to know how refined is the experience now versus when I played it. But, you know, I've said it for many years. The Switch isn't the best platform if you're somebody that really plays a lot of sports games. And if you're a particular football fan, you've got to have this on your radar. Like, you know, like next to Retro Bowl, this might be the best football game that comes to Switch.
I like that. Yeah. Cool. We already talked about Prince of Persia running at 60 frames per second. That's awesome. This came out of nowhere. You always type it like that. Lara Croft. Oh,
sorry. Yeah. My sister-in-law's name is Laura. So I just go to that.
That's
yeah.
Okay. It like makes me second guess myself. Is it Laura? Lara. Lara Croft Switch Collection is out on the 29th of this month. That's like next week-ish.
Yep.
For $25.
These are those top-down games that we talked about for a while that were like announced like 3 years ago and then just went away and then mm-hmm. suddenly got rated and yeah, now they're out next week.
I wonder why now.
It's just kind of a bizarre situation going on over there. Like they did get sold, right? You know, like the Tomb Raider license changed hands and all that. So mm-hmm. I assume that maybe that has a lot to do with this, but I don't expect that this will sell super well, but if you're into Lara Croft, yeah, like, you know, it's your only option on Switch. They haven't put any of the remakes on Switch. A funny anecdote though. Yeah. I said, my sister-in-law, her name's Laura. I don't understand the difference. Like the Laura thing. Like my family does this to me all the time. I'll be like, hey, Laura. And like, Laura, like that's the same thing. That's what I said. And they're like, no, it's not. It's different.
Laura
things.
And Lara.
Laura and yeah. Laura and Laura.
Okay. So you're saying Laura, it's Laura.
Laura and Laura.
It sounds like you say L-O-R-A, Laura.
Yeah.
But it's Laura.
So that's why I typed. That's probably why. Cause it's like, to me, it's like, yeah.
Versus Lara. Lara.
Who says Lara? Lara.
Lara. Lara.
See?
Well, now I'm trying to make it sound different. But it's not Lara Croft or Laura. Lara. I don't know. Now you're like tripping me out.
I'm infecting you, ain't right? This has been a thing in the family. We've discussed over Thanksgivings and things.
Never thought of it that hard. This is cool. Nintendo adds Fire Emblem GBA to Nintendo Switch Online coming on the 23rd.
Get excited.
Was this localized before or is this the first time it's being localized?
I think it was localized. It was on the Ambassador stuff, right?
I don't know.
I think so. I have it on my 3DS. But I did
real
it
quick,
in
right. Yeah, yeah. Ryfim's asking, do you say water or water? I say water.
Water, yeah.
Water. Philly, water. yeah, I would check out Fire Emblem. Seems cool.
Yeah,
I like GBA games.
Not going to go back and play old Fire Emblem games.
Yeah, that's fair.
Before my time.
Apollo Justice Ace Attorney Trilogy was announced early 2024.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to get into Ace Attorney. Now I'm like freaking out about all my pronunciations. Ace Attorney.
I tried to get Melissa to play it. She's a paralegal. I thought maybe she would dig some of this, and she did for like 8 minutes, and then she just got bored, which is basically
how I... She doesn't
want to
play a game of what her work is.
It's how I would surmise how I feel about Ace Attorney 2. I play about 8 minutes and I get bored. I've never been that into
a lot
that
of reading.
Series. Yeah.
You got to be into that.
It was pretty popular in 3DS. And I mean, this should be a big game, you know, like the whole trilogy and all that, you know, a whole bunch of stuff.
I would try it. Early 2024, though. Like, am I still going to care by then? Probably not.
I don't care now. But, you know, Capcom. Hey, yay, Capcom.
hit us with some questions from this week.
Jay writes in, given the option, would either of you consider working in video game journalism full time? I feel like this is timely, considering
absolutely not.
You're about to head over to IGN.
No, stop.
Can't get away without saying it. Like the very next NVC.
Don't do that. No, I would not. And idealistically, that would be my dream job, Jay. But I cannot, in good faith, recommend anybody go into game journalism. For one, it's bad pay for 99.9% of people. Two, it's hard work. It is not just like, oh, you get to review video games. Yeah, you get to play games for a living. No, bullshit. It's not easy. Three, it is not respected. Every time you go online and people are bitching about game journalisms aren't even good at games, like they just, like they have nothing good to say about game journalism. Four, AI has taken our jobs away. This was a big thing over at Gamers, the people who own Twinfinite. What?
No, South Park reference. Never mind.
The people who own Twinfinite and a bunch of other sites like put up a job listing for an AI editor. And thankfully they're like backtracking on this now because we all were yelling at them saying like how horrible of a step in direction that's going. But I think other sites are going to do this and they're going to be outsourcing to AI and like eliminating people's jobs. And it's if you had done this in the 90s, sure. Now, do not do it. And I love, if it was an ideal world, I would love to do this full time.
Mm.
But it's not viable. And I can't recommend it.
Viable is probably the best word. That's the best word you could have chose. I'm always surprised that there are still journalism outlets around for gaming. Because almost in so many other spaces, it's all just gone away. Or it's just become... Instead of going away, you know, it's become more of the influencer, content creator, Twitch, YouTube channel type of, that is like the old hobbyist enthusiasm coverage type stuff for movies, music, things like that. But for video games, there still are a couple, you know, portable outlets that are hanging on. And they must do traffic. I agree with you. I think for the most part, being online in gaming spaces is not particularly healthy. You know, I don't want to write off all gamers or anything like that, but I think we all know what I'm talking about. It can be kind of a toxic environment. So for those reasons, yeah. In a perfect world, if those reasons weren't there, would I love to? I mean, it would be my dream job in a perfect world.
It
sounds like a great, super fun thing writing. To do. But if given the opportunity now, I wouldn't for those reasons, but also I have a job. I have a job in a profession I've worked really hard at that I presume pays me very well. I wouldn't leave that for game journalism. Now, as Rebecca said, if you put me in 1995, I can jump in on the .com boom and like start a website and actually, you know, turn into something. Yeah, I would have been interested in it, but that .com bubble popped a long time ago. It seems like there's a lot of people just hanging on. And I do think AI will, I mean, because why wouldn't it? AI is probably going to replace a lot of that. Or at least, so if not replace, complement a lot of that.
Mm-hmm. AI should be developed for the jobs that nobody wants to do. But they are put, like, it's being made to do jobs that people actually want to do. Like, it's, people are making AI for art and writing and like things that people want to be doing. Why not make AI for like the menial jobs that nobody wants to do?
I think I disagree with you somewhat here. We can take a tangent and talk about just AI in general. I think it is pretty, related to the topic at hand. I think AI is being adapted to the places that it can be. AI can't, you know, mow your grass or chop a tree down or clean a gutter or anything like that. You know, like it can only do analytical, programmatic functions dealing with words and colors and digital functions.
So maybe not right now, but there's already self-driving cars. That's AI. There's already, you know, you have your freaking Roomba that reads your room to vacuum. You're saying that we can't someday have something that mows our lawn with AI.
Possibly.
But you can have something that vacuums your house.
Good
like
point.
It's Possibly, going to get in that direction. Nobody wants to mow. Maybe there's somebody out there who wants to mow lawns, but I guarantee there's more people that want to create good art than wants to mow lawns.
And I think you're right. Like I've seen TikToks and YouTube videos. There's like McDonald's that have like robot servers and stuff that like, you know, come out in the little tray and, you know, give you your cheeseburger and fries and stuff. And I think you may have, I mean, the potential for AI is to give corporations who can afford to implement it option to replace their staff. Like that's the benefit. It's not going to pave new ground, at least not anytime soon, because it can only kind of compute and ingest what it knows, like what it has access to. Like the benefit is it has access to do that faster than humans. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to like go out there and scope new horizons. That's still very much, I think, going to be a human driven element. But it may be able to help. It may be able to offload some of the work to get there. But no, I think you're right. But unfortunately, I think that definitely includes a lot of media. And not just media and journalism. Like, why would a lot of people pay, you know, a bunch of writers to write dialogue for a TV series if you can just program a computer to do an admirable, comparable job? I think you're going to start seeing
I can tell you why. And it will go in this direction, but I don't think it should, because I don't think it can do a comparable job, because like you just described, it's not making something novel. It's using work that has already existed. So you're not going to come up with new original ideas that are anywhere near that what a human could do. It's not going to be personable. It's not going to be unique.
I listened to a podcast called The Town, and they talk about like Hollywood trends with media. And usually it's very like business oriented. They talk about streaming wars and content wars and Amazon versus Google and stuff like that. But they had a discussion where they were talking about this, and they had a director and a writer, somebody that does movies, and he's currently scripting TV series. And the way that he described it, he's like, yeah, I have been using AI for like more than a year, like for a while now. He says, I don't use it to replace me, to just write my things for me. He's like, I might be gestating on an idea, but I just don't have the words. I just can't like get started. So he'll go to the AI and he'll be like, all right, I've got a TV series. I've got these 8 characters, and it's basically, they'll give it like the synopsis. It's a sci-fi thrill adventure. It's Hamlet in an urban criteria. And he'll be like, give me 3 outcomes that this can go, and then make one of them twisty and make one of them like, you know, like foreshadowing. And he'll use it to like spitball ideas and like to bend dialogue around.
So he is he's in a job that he doesn't like and isn't good at, and he needs a computer to do that for him.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it. I didn't look at it that way. I could understand some of that.
There's millions of people out there who want to be pitching their ideas and putting that human touch into it.
Sure.
And I just feel like we're replacing the things that people have heart about.
I'm not disagreeing with you, just first and foremost. But what I think you're dismissing is, or not dismissing,
I think it can be used as a tool.
You're just disagreeing, but you're right. There's tons of people out there that would love to do this. But the problem is there's not tons of people out there that want to pay tons of people to do this. Right. So they're just happy to just do whatever. Like if they can have somebody do it for free, or have a program do it for free or for much less money than hiring a team of writers, they're going to do that.
Of course they are.
And that's
a
bad
thing. Where are all of these people going to find jobs?
Exactly. That's a bad thing that we have to account for the consequences. But like, if you're a corporation and you're trying to streamline budgets and increase shareholder prices, like you're going to do that because it's just more profitable.
The only way that it could work is if most jobs that people don't want to do, or that AI can do, is automated. The only way that could work is if there is a universal basic income.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are coming to that end. I mean,
and then maybe if you work a job that isn't done by automation, you get more money.
Yeah. Yeah. My job is very code heavy. It's very, I manage servers and applications and things like that. And I totally anticipate, expect at some point in my lifetime, it'll probably be offloaded indefinitely by just machines that can do this probably faster, more efficiently than I can.
It's a scary future, Donnie.
It really
and
is.
I like to embrace technology, but I know this is, you know, the panic that people had when computers were invented and things like that, when computers were making their way into homes, like.
The difference is that I don't think computers replaced a whole lot. They added, it was additive. This feels replacing. This is going to replace a lot of human elements in society. And then as you talk about
more people than ever before,
there's consequences to that. And how do you face those consequences? Yeah. And here's how it won't get faced. It won't get faced if you leave it in the hands of corporations to do it. Right. If Google and Amazon are controlled how this happens, they don't give a shit. Like, that's not going to help us.
Don't worry, Donnie. The good news is we're all going to be long gone due to the consequences of climate change before automation can take over our jobs.
You're probably true. It's probably more true than anything else. Next question. Steven says, do you think Nintendo could have a Direct during their Nintendo Live event in September?
That's what I was talking about, Steven.
There you go.
Yeah, we got the same brain. Yes, I do.
I asked people what was their favorite game from Summer Game Fest week, and he says Prince of Persia.
Mine was probably one of the Wholesome Games Direct games.
Nice. Mine was Cookie Cutter. I'm taking Cookie Cutter. Have you seen that?
No.
You should check out Cookie Cutter. Ghost Days says, do you feel games that get significant updates and features over time after their release should get any type of re-review or additional review from publications?
Yeah, that's a good point. Sometimes when big updates or big DLC come out, we do review of that like DLC or whatever. But usually not for things that just get like updates over time, like the Splatoons and Animal Crossing type games. And I thought the same thing when I first reviewed Animal Crossing New Horizons. I was reviewing the base game, and that has gotten so much more content over time. And I do think that, you know, there are times that I wish I could, you know, go back and comment on. And you can still write features that comment on it, but we don't usually go back and touch the original review. But people would go back and look at that review and maybe make a decision about the game. So I think Ghost Days is a very good point.
Yeah, I do. I do, too. I agree. I think they should. I like the idea of time capsuling reviews. Like the game that immediately comes to mind, especially after Summer Games Fest, is Cyberpunk.
Mm-hmm.
Cyberpunk came out and was an absolute garbage fire on day one. And everybody that went hands-on with Cyberpunk at Summer Games Fest is glowing about how much has been done to this game. And it looks like it's readying for a relaunch. So how do you review a game like that? If it were me and I ran like a game site, I would push for you to have like an archive. And you go and you punch in Cyberpunk to your website, and it's like, here's Cyberpunk's review, June 2023. And here's also Cyberpunk's review, their first DLC update in 2021. And here's also the day one update for Cyberpunk. And you would see like a kind of a timeline. Like, we've reviewed this over time, and here's what our editors or our writers at the time had to say after these games got each updates. And, you know, you start at the top with every one of those. This game got these significant changes, a significant expansion. These things have happened since our original review. So we have, and even if you have a different writer, they can disagree, but just showing that over time, that this game has changed over time. I think that should be right at the top of a review. Like, you click on the headline, it should be right there. The first thing you see before you start getting into all the nitty gritty, we've reviewed this game multiple times because of these reasons.
I like that. I like that idea. Yeah.
Because we have
seen, like, No Man's Sky do something different. Like, No Man's Sky is
Destiny,
a different game than at launch.
Yeah, there's a Destiny, lot of these games, especially as live service has become more of a thing. It's taken over Fortnite. How much of Fortnite has changed since it first came out? And I've seen outlets re-review something, but I don't think that's doing this question like much service. because now you're creating confusion. Now you go and you search for something, you're seeing different reviews. You're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
You know, I kind of like it. It's like how Edge does review scores, where they used to give you like multiple reviewers' takes at the bottom. You'd have like three or four scores and they would aggregate it. I like the kind of a similar path, but do that over time for these games that keep getting worked on and getting updated. And I think that makes a lot more sense now, because unfortunately, this is just going to be the norm. Like, we're just going to get more and more of this going forward.
And some games I feel like might go in the opposite direction, where they're not necessarily getting better, but like, you know, games that might add too many microtransactions or might be adding too much like bloat to the game kind of thing. Maybe that makes the game worse. I don't know.
Nate says, wouldn't that encourage companies to release buggy stuff? They can get a better score later. I don't think that encourages them. Are they doing any different now? Like, they don't need the encouragement to do. They're doing that already. With or without the encouragement, they're already doing that.
They might. And I think, you know, sure, they might get the initial bad review, but if they do improve it and get better scores later, then sure, I can see, you know, that, because I wouldn't know, like, if they release a buggy game and improve it, like, if I'm looking at a buggy game and looking at the original review, I wouldn't get the game. But right. If I'm able to see that it has improved over time,
right
now I can get it.
Exactly. And that is kind of my point. Also, I think sometimes we get in the mindset that the developer works on this game for years. They release the game and then that's it. They're never going to work on the game again. And that's it. The review should be there. And just that's how that game is. That line of thinking has been outdated for some time now. Like over a decade long, like just that's like a Callisto Protocol. They're releasing another story expansion. I don't know, in September. They just announced it like yesterday. They're releasing another story expansion, right? That game came out. I played the game last year. That's how all games are now. Like the release day is just a day in the journey of a video game. It's not the end. It's not the last stop. It's just another day along the journey. So, if anything, if you're not going to update the review, then I would say then stop doing day and date reviews. I know nobody wants to do that, but like if you want to service the customer better, that would be the best way to service the customer, the reader, is to stop doing that. But obviously it doesn't drive clicks. It doesn't get things. So that's why they don't do it. So in lieu of doing that, then I would suggest this.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Adam writes in, why are game studios promising DLC and then not delivering? Aspyr has now said it will not release DLC for KOTOR 2 on Switch after having mentioned it in the release of the game.
Because everybody bought the game and they have their money and it doesn't make sense. They've crunched the numbers and decided that not enough people will buy the DLC to warrant making it. They already have your cash. From the $60 purchase.
It's true.
They don't need to do that anymore. And it's wrong. Don't promise what you can't deliver. Didn't Halo do the same thing about single player or something? F that.
Multiplayer.
That's messed up. That is messed up. Messed up.
Co-op. I would say it's potential. At least in KOTOR's case, maybe it didn't sell as well as they thought. Right? Maybe they were banking on it doing better than it did, and therefore they can't afford the DLC. I don't know. Aspyr is not like my favorite studio. I remember they're doing the KOTOR remake and everybody got excited. And I was like, why are we excited? Like, why is everybody excited? Like, this is not that great. And then like 6 months later, that game was taken away from them. And I was like, there we go. That makes more sense. And I don't mean to just look, I'm only saying what I believe Aspyr's earned to be said. Like their name doesn't inspire a whole lot of brand integrity or appeal to me. So sorry. Adam also says, Jusant looks really cool. Sad it's not coming to Switch.
What's Jusant?
Jusant is the Don't Nod game. It's like an indie game coming from Don't Nod where you climb things.
Oh,
and
I like
there's
Don't
a Nod demo for Steam, and I played it, and I did not like it.
Oh, really?
It looks pretty, and I'm sure they have you know, some emotional, overarching, you know, story to tell there. But it does that thing that video game developers have seemed to be almost infatuated with, where they want you to like use the trigger to grab everything. So you're constantly just doing the trigger and the trigger and the trigger and the trigger. Like,
I don't like the art style.
We've been doing this in video games for like 20 years and I can't, yeah. I don't think there's one good example that everybody's like, this is good. Right. Yeah. It's always bad, but they just keep going to it. They're like, it'd be so immersive. They're going to love it. And I started playing. It was like, oh, this is awful. I don't want to do this.
This is one of my least favorite art styles. It's very uninspired. It's very bland. It's, I don't like it. The character looks weird. I don't like his eyes. I don't like it. I don't like the font that they picked for the title.
Sorry, Yarden. Yarden was digging it.
I'm sorry, but
I played it on the Ally this week. Played the demo, and yeah, I just wasn't digging. I was like, I'm not going to buy this game. I'm not going to play it. It is literally
sad because I like Don't Nod.
Climbing simulator. So yeah, same. That's the only reason I even played the demo. Yeah. KTP's up next. He says, "What are some things that you like doing in the depth section of Tears of the Kingdom?"
Collecting pose. I love collecting pose. I will go towards a big chunk of pose just to collect them.
Yeah, I like fighting all the big bosses down there. Those are really great. I like just fighting in general down there. I think the gloom thing is a neat mechanic. You know, they added a lot of new systems to Tears of the Kingdom, but the gloom might be like my favorite. I like how they can like permanently take hearts away and make you have to like retreat. And stuff. That's a neat idea. Trying to think if there's any like special quests or anything. I mean,
have you defeated a Lynel in the depths yet?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. I really dig the structures that are in the depths. And I know that's not like a quest, but like some of the palaces and buildings and monoliths and monuments that are down there are so huge in scale that you don't see in like a village, mm-hmm. which is kind of strange. You know, there's several entities down there that are like Hyrule Castle big, and they just have a really cool, different look to them. Yeah. You know? So I dig that a lot. Like just the exploration down there is a lot of fun because mm-hmm. of that reason. I remember when I came across the Lynel that I defeated was at the bottom, the base of this gigantic like stone structure. And at the very bottom, it's like a platform that you go stand on. And I presume to zip up, you know, into the world somehow. But there's like a little sand. And it's just very different from the rest of the game. Like they're really on whoever cooked up the depths is on some different shit. Like doing some different things over here.
Yeah.
You know,
it's very cool.
It is very cool.
Reminds me a little bit of the Twilight Realm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's the best way you could put it. Gag says, does the Master Trials return to Tears of the Kingdom?
I didn't really like it that much, to be honest. I mean, like, I didn't dislike it, but I feel like I've done it. I don't need to do it again.
I think I would mostly agree with you, but I do think it does. I do think the Master Trials will return. I did like it a lot when it came out. Like you, though, I don't think I'm yearning to do it again. But it is just it's like all of the different formulas that they put in shrines, like rolled into one quest. Mm-hmm. It does just make a lot of sense. It's good for combat. It's just very easy to make probably DLC for them as opposed to doing like something story rich and narrative and having characters
and that's why I want something different.
Same. Yeah, no, I'm proud that I agree with. I do too. I don't want more of that. And he says, what do you think DLC for this game would be about?
I want DLC that has something featuring Cass. Where is he? Where is the father who abandoned his children? Did he go on a journey and he's lost somewhere? I need to have him return in some capacity.
Ideally, if I could have anything, I'd love a DLC expansion that lets me go underwater somewhere. It's still like I wanted it in Breath of the Wild, and it's like the one thing that I'm like, man, still not really here. Huh? I got no iron boots. I don't have to do anything. I get no silver scale. We're just not going to do this, guys. No water temple, no nothing, just... Great. Thanks. So
I think you're alone with that one.
Maybe so. Maybe so. G-Man says, with the Lara Croft games coming next week, will it be worth it? Nope. No, it will not. Those are not the best games. They're not bad. They're not. They're fine. If you're jonesing for some Lara Croft, like, that'll scratch the itch, but they're not like the Lord. They're not Tomb Raider. Like, it's not Tomb Raider, the game. So why can't Nintendo of America get Binding Blade since Roy's our boy? The Fire Emblem game is Blazing Blade, I believe, with Lin. And Japan is getting Binding Blade with Roy, if I believe I remember that correctly. And yeah, I don't know. You know how Nintendo's does, you know, like how they're going to do. They're not going to give each of us both games. As a matter of, they'll probably just come back in a couple of months and then give the other territory the other game. I think they think they're really smart about that. Do you think there's somebody at Nintendo that are like, ah, we'll just put this one in Japan. They won't notice. Like, I don't understand why they don't just have global releases. Why they do, they pick and choose. Well, you get this and you don't. You know, it's
they kind of know their market, and I guess they run the numbers and decide.
It's a very wee, you know, way of thinking about it. Like, they're so much more global now. You'd think they'd give up on that. Nick writes in, says, I'm wanting to give Pokemon another try. I haven't really played one since Sword. Which would you choose? Scarlet Violet or Arceus? I'm going to say Let's
Go. I did like Scarlet, but I'm going to suggest Arceus just because I think it's different and I think you'll enjoy it more.
No Pikachu, no Let's Go. I know it's not on your list, Nick, but like, you should think about it.
No, I mean, it's not, he didn't include that with his choices. He's probably already played it.
Then I also will say Arceus, and I will just say, because as much as I joked about Arceus, like, Jack played it and it looked like a fine game, Sword did not, or Scarlet and Violet did not. Like, it looked like
you didn't make it to the end. Scarlet's only good if you make it to the end. It's like a lot to ask, so play Arceus.
Yarden writes in, odds we can convince Rebecca to give Starfield a try. Yarden, I think the odds are better that she'll try it than me.
That's funny. It's a very presumptuous question, because I already was planning on trying Starfield. I was going to try it on Game Pass because I can now. And I did make fun of it to Garrett because he was so excited about it when we knew nothing about it. I'm like, what is the point of the game? What do you do? And he wasn't able to tell me. So it was very easy to make fun of him for it. That being said, I love space. And this gives Mass Effect vibes. And I love Mass Effect. So I'll try it. I have Game Pass.
Looking there. Looky there. I'm so proud.
To try to convince me. I was already going to.
I love Game Pass, and I want everybody to have Game Pass all the time. But I don't love space, and I don't love Mass Effect.
I love space.
I watched them for 40 minutes talk about Starfield, and I could honestly not have cared less.
Like, I didn't watch any of the presentation. I watched the trailer, like maybe even part of the trailer. I don't know. I can't promise I'll play a lot of the game, Yarden, but I can promise I'll try. Oh,
there's
it.
A lot of game to play.
I know.
The game looks like it's going to take 18,000 hours. No. Like, it's too
much. I'll probably play as much as I did with Skyrim, which was maybe a couple hours.
And I love Skyrim, and I played Skyrim for hundreds of hours, and I just don't. There's nothing about Starfield that's making me like, oh, I can't wait to play that.
No, I gave Garrett crap because it was easy to give him crap because he was so excited. And because he was saying he was more excited for it than Tears of the Kingdom when we knew nothing about Starfield. How can you be more excited about a game you know nothing about than the sequel to the best game of all time? That's why I was making fun of Garrett.
Fair. Yeah, they started talking about, like, you can laser rocks and stuff to gather resources. I was like, no. So I don't play No Man's Sky. So I don't do Mass Effect. I don't want to do any of this.
I love Mass Effect. I want to play Mass Effect again.
You're like, you can make your own. You can build your ship however you want. You can change.
You can have 5,000 sandwiches on your ship.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm good, guys. I think I'm going to play something else. And I'm saying that, like, jokingly. I don't mean to. I realize people are super hyped about it. I'm not trying to counter that. I think people that have listened to me for a long time know that I'm being super genuine. This is not the type of game I play. It just isn't. You know, this is no different than me looking at an RPG and being like, absolutely not. Like, it is the same thing.
Yarden, you asked the wrong question. Next week, you have to ask odds we can convince Donnie to give Starfield a try.
Very little. Sean's super excited. So I've been really enjoying watching my man get hyped. It's not a thing he does often. I'm like, dude, he's getting the stupid edition. He's buying watches and shit. I'm like, I'm loving it. I'm here for his infectious energy. That said, every time I think about playing the game, like, just immediately I'm like, no, I just can't. Like, I don't even know if I'm going to play it. And I said that, and Sean was like, oh, come on, you got to try it. You have Game Pass. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, you're right. And then I go back and I see the game and I'm like, no, this is not even worth it.
If you don't want to, don't waste your time, because there's other things you can be
Like, if you just feel like I'm just not going to like that game. You know,
exactly what Ghost Days just said. There are so many great things out there. If something's not for you, then like, why even bother? Exactly. Like, I would never try Xenoblade or, you know, something that I know I'm not going to like.
I would rather people that are excited for Starfield play it and talk about it than me try to come up with thoughts and conjure up about it. You know, I'd rather just let those people have the things to say.
That's fair.
I don't need to have words on Starfield. So, and it feels weird though, because as somebody who beat Redfall, it's like I played and beat Redfall, and I may not even play Starfield.
Ooh, don't tell people that.
Right? Like,
keep that one to yourself.
Like, I feel that, but I think that's the truth. Like, I think I'm just being honest. I think that's how it's going to go.
Okay.
Yarden says his favorite game from Summer Games Fest was Starfield and Like a Dragon and Persona and it keeps and. Mm-hmm. Before we answer the last question, we talked about those PSVG this week, but if anybody didn't listen to that 4-hour marathon, Rebecca, I really dug Summer Games Fest, which is not something I ever thought I was ever going to say. I typically make fun of a lot of the things Jeff Keighley does. I typically don't like, you know, his advertisement way of going about this, but I got to admit and give him credit. I dig not just his show, but like the whole week is what I want to talk about. I dug the week. I liked all the showcases except the Capcom one. And like every other showcase I thought was entertaining, was fun. The games look great. I just had a good time sitting in my computer watching people announce video games.
You liked it because it filled the hole in your heart that E3 left.
It definitely did. It felt E3-ish for sure. Mm-hmm. I saw Jeff Grubb having late nights on couches with all of the industry.
Hey, that was cool. Podcasts. The Giant Bomb stuff they were doing. That was cool.
Yeah. Like, I had fun. It was fun. I've enjoyed listening to podcasts come out this week, especially I didn't see as much coverage of people going hands-on as I remember seeing from E3. But in the podcasts that have been starting to release after, as people got home and stuff, that's where I'm starting to hear more and more of like, hey, I played Prince of Persia. Hey, I went hands-on with Sonic. These are what I thought. The crew was pretty good. You know, like, that stuff gets me excited. I want to hear what people actually thought when they played them, not just a reaction to the trailers. So I'm starting to get a little bit more of that. And just overall, I dug the week. I thought it was really good. He's onto something. Like, this might be the thing.
Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe. I think something needs to take its place, and it feels like that's probably the only thing.
Jack asks, what's one thing you would change for the next Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom game?
Traditional dungeons.
The next one, I would prefer if we didn't get zapped of all abilities and have to like relearn them all and regather them all and regather all the hearts and redo all the things.
So you want to not play the game?
No. And I love the grind. I just feel like we've done it a lot. I would like to maybe switch it up a bit, just add a new element to it. Like, just, I don't know, remix it, make it feel new, different.
They did with Breath of the Wild.
Right. I'm not telling you to drastically change it, Rebecca. Just saying.
I'm confused what you're asking for.
I would like to not like have to go out and earn all of, I would like the power trip that I love in these games. I would like to experience it faster if they're going to like go back to a third or a fourth or a fifth instead of like rebuilding it every time. Does that make sense?
No.
No, I tried.
Well, try again, because I really want to understand what you're talking about. You want to start with more hearts? Is that what you're saying?
I'd like to start with more hearts, more stamina, better weapons, you know, like powers, the abilities, and not have to unlock every single thing. And that doesn't mean I don't want to unlock things, but like maybe not everything. Like maybe just onboard. Like at this point, we all get it. Like we've all done it. So maybe onboard is just a little faster.
Okay. You know, it'll
start us a little further on, a little further along.
Okay.
I also...
Oh, I can't see. Yes. Accessibility features, assist modes. Yes, 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 yes. Because you can't change controls. The accessibility is so bleak.
Yeah, the controls
in Nintendo games.
Controls
would be a camera, like a photo mode. Photo mode would be cool.
I'm trying to think if there's... No, what I wanted to say is, but I'm not exactly sure if I even believe what I'm about to say. I'm not digging the shrines. Like, there's too many shrines in this game that take all your stuff away.
Yeah.
There's too many of them.
It's like they said, yeah, Tarrytown, everybody liked that. Let's do it a bunch of times.
Yeah, they're like, the Eventide was cool, right? Let's do it 25 times. Like, oh, it's a bit much, guys. And it's like, it's cool the first couple times, but it's not cool when you're 50 hours in and you have all this stuff and they're like, just take it away. Now you have to learn how to do this with a stick. It's like, well, this isn't as fun. You know?
I try those like once, and if I fail, I just stop.
Yeah, I would like maybe to not have to do as many of them. I've done them all. But like I walked into one last night and I just saw that it was one of those and I was like, I don't want to do this right now. And that's like the feeling that I had. I was like, that's not a good feeling. You should never have that feeling. You should never have that feeling when you're playing something. And I think, and it's not that I want it to go away. I wouldn't go that hard. I just generally think there's too many of it. It happens too often. It's like it's such a different pace, like a change of pace. You know, it's a curveball they throw at you. More sky stuff. I love flying. Let me go underwater. I'd like to do that too.
Mm-hmm. Good answers.
Yep.
I think that's it for this week.
That's fun.
Anything for the good of the cause, Donnie?
Nope. I know this isn't the show for it, but Rebecca, I'm really digging my little handheld. I'm having
talk
a lot
about
of fun
it.
With
what
it.
Do you like
I'm
about
having
it?
A lot of fun with it. Okay. So I talked about a little bit on PSVG. It was like day one, right? So it was very my earliest impressions. The early impressions weren't like super great. It took a lot to like get up and running. Tons of driver updates, tons of Windows updates, like things not working right. Like trying to troubleshoot why it was working with this launcher, that launcher. And ended up encountering through process of trial and error, my SD card just sucked. I got one of those like non-brand SD cards, had great reviews, but it wasn't SanDisk and it sucked. It was the SD card. I got rid of the SD card. Everything magically started working better. I was like, oh my God, I've been fiddling with this for 2 days. Now that I've done that and now I've got EmuDeck running and I've got PlayStation 2 games running. I've got GameCube games running. I've got all of my emulators going. I've got my Steam games, got my Epic games playing The Last of Us and playing Hot Shots Golf. I am digging it. I'm digging it so much. Like it's all I've wanted to do. It's all I did yesterday. It's all I did the day before, like Friday, all day long. Really starting to, now that I've got my hands wrapped around what it can and can't do. I love it. I really do. I'm playing on the TV last night. I had it hooked up to the dock. I was like, this is incredible. I can only hope that the next Nintendo system is something like it. I'm not saying it'll be better than, I don't think it will be, but something like it would be great.
Do you think you will still own this console by the end of 2023?
Yeah, I do. Sold it? I don't plan on getting rid of my Switch.
No, not your Switch, your Ally.
Oh, the Ally. Yeah, absolutely. No, this is not going anywhere. No. I feel like
you're
I can
like,
say this.
I'll probably keep the Switch.
Yeah, probably. I'm going to keep the Switch. No. The Ally is not going anywhere. I can't imagine. I can't honestly right now. I can't imagine not having this now. I don't think it's for everybody.
5 months.
I don't think it's for everybody. You have to be a tinkerer. You've got to like go out and figure it out. There are sources like I'm in a Discord and a Reddit and a Patreon that is a good place to find help, which I've had to seek. Others are seeking, like I'm helping others. You've got to be about that life if you want something like this. But if you are willing to put in that kind of effort, it's a great reward. I was playing Midnight Club last night. Midnight Club 2. You ever play Midnight Club? You have any idea what I'm talking about? Oh, man. Midnight Club is one of my favorite games. Rockstar made a racing game back in the day. It's fantastic. It's awesome. Very much like Fast and the Furious type stuff. And I've got all my favorite sports games. I've got all my Marios. I've got my Zeldas. Not all my Zeldas. Missing one specific Zelda game that I'll be working on soon. But it's crazy how much access to stuff I have, like in the palm of my hand, like at all times. I can just take it with me wherever.
Spagoop wants to know how it compares to the Steam Deck.
Not really comparable. This is a PC. It's like a portable laptop, where the Steam Deck is a console. It's very Switch-like. It has a lot of console-like features. If you like any part of that, about the Steam Deck, even if you think you maybe take it for granted, but you really like it, the ease of just signing in, going to your library, downloading games, clicking them, it works, the controls work all the time. If you're like, yeah, this is all I want, then you need to stick with the Steam Deck, because that is not the case with the Ally. The Ally has a lot of tools to try and make it better, but it's not a console. It's a PC. So, you know, all the emulators I've had to configure to recognize the controls or remap them. Certain Steam games I've had to remap the controls and like get it working. There's definitely a part of that with this.
Ally. Very good. I want to say happy Father's Day to all of the fathers out there, and also to anybody of any gender who has stepped up as a fatherly role, whether you're a father or not. I also just want to shout out that tomorrow, June 19th, is Juneteenth, now a federal holiday. Yeah. I think it's important just for us to reflect on that and the importance of, you know, what it stands for, the emancipation of enslaved Black people, and the ongoing fight for equality and justice. And Juneteenth is an important time to celebrate and listen to the voices of Black individuals and their experiences, and remembering, you know, what we need to do to have a more inclusive and equal society. So just wanted to shout that out. But other than that, we'll see it next week. Hopefully I will. I keep saying I want to beat Zelda. We'll see if I actually do or not. I have other stuff that I'm ready to play now that it's summer. So, I also want to shout out for people who tune into my live streams. I am thinking about making the switch over to YouTube to at least trial it. And I might be doing my first YouTube stream today. So come support me there.
Is it because of the Twitch stuff?
Yeah, I just am scared of the direction that Twitch is going. Mm. And all the experts are saying to diversify your content and platforms. So that's what I'm doing. So we're going to try it out. Yeah. All right. Have a good week, everyone. And we will see you next time.
Peace.
Whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Frederick from Fire Emblem Awakening. And I forgot the line already. What?